Mark Moser joins us from Colorado. Mark, welcome back to the show, my man. How are you?
Well, considering what you were just laying out there, I don't know, to be honest with you. Yeah. By the way, how's the weather up there right now?
Today, buddy, it's plus six today, which is, I don't know what that would be like, closer to 43 or something Fahrenheit.
Yeah, we'll take that. Yeah,
oh, sure. It's fantastic.
Make sure it's there when we get there. By the way, I can't wait to get there. I cannot wait to see the new building. I just I want to check it out. I just heard wonderful, wonderful things about it. So we'll see you guys soon.
Yeah, great. Now, the ABBA, we hear this for a lot of times every year, and it's different teams when they're floundering. Okay, you know what? And the young core has got to go. And, you know, in Edmonton, they moved out one guy, but they also brought in a Connor McDavid the year before. So that, you know, I don't see a Connor McDavid coming in the draft this year as much as I like Nathan Patrick. Nolan Patrick, excuse me. I don't see him as a Connor McDavid. So Landeskog, Duchesne, MacKinnon, like, do you think moving one of them is the right decision? Or is this a team that might have to move one of them to get a quality defenseman? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Let me ask you this. How long have the Edmonton Oilers been looking for a quality defenseman?
Oh, yeah, quite a few years.
Right. And what did it cost him to get a guy like Larson in, who's a good player? He's not a superstar, but he's a good player, right? Yeah, it cost him a Taylor Hall, an 80-point guy, you know, and you're going, oh, my God. But that's kind of the way it has to be, I think, in the National Hockey League now. If you don't have, you know, five guys you're developing after you drafted them and they're on the horizon and you know they're going to be NHL players and so on, and it's very hard to develop defensemen. I mean, they take, for the most part, those guys take a while to develop. Then you're going to have to probably overpay a little bit or, you know, give up a good asset in order to make it happen. So the way I look at it is it possible? Yeah, I definitely think it's possible. And listen, if you're having a season like the Avs are having, and you guys up there know how it is, I mean, you finally get rewarded. You got a Taylor Hall, that's good, but you also had a Yakupov, and Nugent Hopkins is a good player. But then you finally got your opportunity to get that. And hold on 1 second here; they're going to test the horn at Pepsi Center. Hold on.
It's like the longest horn test going. Wow, I love it.
I don't know why they have to test it either. I guess you're sure it's not going to work. I don't know. They're being thorough. But the way I look at it is, you know, you finally got a Connor McDavid, who's a generational player, and I agree with you guys. I mean, as good as Nolan Patrick could potentially be in the National Hockey League, I mean, you know, McDavid is a Crosby. I mean, and who knows, maybe better when his career is all said and done. And so you have to think about everything. It's pretty interesting, too, because I had Joe Sakic on the radio show a couple days ago, right after the Cody McLeod trade went down that day. And he indicated to me and my partner that that really, you know, they're not going to trade a core player to just make a deal and try to get the Avs a little bit better or whatever. It's going to have to be a deal that really, really is going to help this team. And you've heard the indications that maybe MacKinnon's off limits or Rantanen's off limits or so on. I don't know really, guys, that anybody was off limits if the right deal came along. A big, big deal came along. I mean, I would have thought, of course, that maybe Taylor Hall was off limits for the Edmonton Oilers, but sometimes I guess you got to do what you got to do.
Mark, I was looking back to the drafting for the Avalanche. Now, of course, you know, they have had different GMs since, but basically since 2000 and I'm going back to like 2006, the only D-men that have played any sort of games other than 30 are Kevin Shattenkirk, who was a first-round pick in 07, and Tyson Barrie, who was a third-round pick in 2009. Like, they've had a lot of success with forwards, Ryan O'Reilly, who's not there anymore, and Duchesne, and you go down the list, but they haven't they haven't drafted any defensemen in the first round except for Duncan Siemens, and he didn't pan out for them, unfortunately. But they predominantly went with forwards. They just took Tyson Yost this year. They took Mikko Rantanen the last year, Connor Bleakley the year before that, and they just traded his rights away last year. Yeah, how much of management and their scouting staff is to blame for their inability to have any defensemen when they haven't drafted any?
That's a great question. You know, they did make a change in the head of scouting, and Rick Preece, and he's now out. Was out at the start of this year with the Colorado Avalanche, so they decided to go in a different direction when it came to amateur scouting. So maybe that's your answer right there, that Preece is no longer the guy who's in charge of that job here with the Colorado Avalanche. And I know what you're saying. There are a couple of guys that you're hopeful for, a guy like Chris Bigras, who was a former second-round pick, and they drafted in 2015, they drafted A.J. Greer at 39 as a winger, of course. but they drafted the big kid in the queue, Nicholas Meloche, as well. And I've got high hopes for him in the future coming up. They drafted Lindholm, who was playing in Sweden, and he's now over playing in the AHL. And so they've got some guys in the system, I think, who can be players. But, you know, if you're the Colorado Avalanche, you need to kind of rebuild the whole defensive side of things, you know. And you've got to get that pipeline working even more. So I do understand what you're saying. I guess the way I put it, you know, the Avs addressed that by changing their chief amateur scout and maybe looking in a different direction here in 2017 and beyond.
Just even based on everything that's happened, I know that it's come up at times. Is Joe Sakic safe in his position right now? Is that the feeling you get, or are there just rumors or rumblings about him possibly losing that GM position?
Well, I think he is. I'll throw it this way back to you guys. I mean, if you look at the Avs core of Matt Duchene, Nathan MacKinnon, Gabe Landeskog, Tyson Berry, you know, you can throw perhaps an Eric Johnson involved in that as well, and maybe Mikko Rantanen coming. When you look at that from Edmonton and you look at that core, what do you think?
What I think is they got a lot of forwards and they don't have any defensemen that they're building around.
I mean, but do they seem like really good players, right? I mean, like players, you know, 25 and under. Duchene just turned 26 yesterday. But, I mean, but you've got some really good players. And, you know, I think it's a long way of me saying that, yes, I think that Joe is safe right now. Because, again, I think the Avs have been drafting better. They've got some pieces in the pipeline who are going to be coming, and they like that an awful lot. You know, from what I hear from people who are even in the know more than I am regarding Tyson Jost, is that the Avs really did a great job when they took him at 10, that they got a real player. And I liked what I saw out of him, of course, in the World Juniors, and that's a positive thing. He's having a great first year in North Dakota. You don't want to put pressure on him and bring him up too soon and turn him pro before he's ready. But they're doing better things, and they're growing things. But guys, I just say, listen, when you put your faith in the core, and you know you pay those guys the money, and again, you can argue paying Tyson Berry, and he has some skills that are very unique in the National Hockey League. You can argue paying Eric Johnson, you know, but he's a big, strong defenseman who eats up a ton of minutes. The Avs have really missed him after Tyler Seguin blew his leg apart with a slap shot and then just shattered his leg, and you know he's missed a couple of months already. You can say, okay, well, should we pay those guys? But, I mean, you guys know as well as anybody, trying to find defensemen in the NHL is hard. It's just very, very difficult. And when you get a guy who can play, sometimes you might have to overpay him a little bit. I mean, I look at the core, and I think Joe looked at the core and said, you know what, these guys are good players. We're going to put our faith in those guys. Now it's up to those guys to come through. You know, those guys have to be the guys that carry your load here in the National Hockey League, because you got the salary cap and you can't just pay everybody. So you got to, if you're going to pay your money, put your faith in guys who you think are going to be able to come through. And if you ask me, I would say MacKinnon, Duchene, Landeskog, these kind of guys, you put your faith in a good spot, but now it's up to them to go on out there and perform and to get the job done. I think that's the way Joe looks at it. And listen, I mean, you can win with those guys, you can lose with those guys, and you can lose without those guys. So, you know, I think that anytime something like this happens, you're having a season like this, I think everything is probably on the table in that regard.
Mark Moser joins us from Denver, Colorado. The Avalanche currently in 30th place and look like a team that would be selling off. It's hard to do now. We did see it last year with the Seth Jones, Ryan Johansson trade. To have kind of, you know, a big deal done mid-season. But a lot of times any sort of big deals would happen at the end of the year. Now, Jerome Iginla is a UFA at the end of the season, nearing the end of his career. You would think that he would waive his contract. Any other players like Rene Bork, would they ship him off for some draft picks? John Mitchell, like, do you think, you know, just as far as rentals goes, are all those guys up for grabs? And how much does Francois Beauchemin have left?
Well, you know, Francois, he just scored his first goal the other night, by the way, against the Nashville Predators. But I think when you're talking about Beauchemin in this regard, with Eric Johnson's injury, everybody has been moved up one more notch. And so you're talking about minutes, and Zadorov is getting a lot more minutes. And incidentally, you look back at the deal with the Buffalo Sabres for Ryan O'Reilly, Nikita Zadorov, guys. You know, he was a key piece in that deal. He's starting to really come on strong on the back end. Piece by piece, he's building his game as a 21-year-old, so I don't think he's going anywhere. But if you're talking about Bosch, you know, now you're asking him to play, what, 20-something minutes per game, and you're asking him to do this and PK and so on. Can he help a team? Absolutely, he can help a team. Again, I don't think that you want him playing a top pair of minutes, maybe even, you know, 3 minutes, perhaps a four, throw him up there a little bit if you need to. But if you're talking about a team that needs to win in the playoffs, you know, a 5-6 role for him, I think, would be absolutely ideal at this point, because he's still a very tremendous defenseman. He's good in his own zone. You know, his head's on straight, obviously. He's seen it all. He's a Stanley Cup champion. So, yeah, is he in play? Again, guys, I think everybody's in play. Guys who are not going to be figuring to be part of the project moving forward, you know, guys with contracts, guys who, you know, will be restricted and so on. I think that Joe Sakic will listen to anything. And there are guys that could help. I mean, who would have thought that Renny Bork would come in and you know, make the team, of course, but then, you know, kind of have the season he's having. And so there are guys out there that certainly can help some clubs. And, you know, you've just seen a lot of scouts at games a lot over the past couple of weeks, past month or so. So I can't imagine, you know, who they're not looking at perhaps on this Colorado Avalanche squad at this point.
And quickly, Varlamov and Calvin Pickard have basically split the duties this year. 22 starts for Varlamov, 19 for Pickard, 902 save percentage, 901 save percentage. They're paying Varlamov a lot, Mark. What's his status? How's his play been this year?
Well, you know, he's had the groin injury, and that's been the real issue with Semyon Varlamov. And this is something that's kind of gone on for a couple of years now. And Varley's missed some time the past couple of years with the groin, and it's happened again this year. And when it happened this last time, they said, all right, listen, let's finally get this thing figured out. Let's figure out what we need to do for the long term. Because when Varley's been on, guys, you've seen Semyon Varlamov when he's been on. I mean, he's been absolutely brilliant. I think he should have been the Hart Trophy winner a couple, you know, 3 years ago when the Avs won the division and finished with 112 points. He was that good. I mean, let alone, you know, Vezina. I mean, I think he could have swept the whole thing. That's how important he was to the Colorado Avalanche. You know, you go to Toronto this year, he has a 51 save performance, just a brilliant, brilliant night. But that's the good Varley. Then again, you also have the groin that you're dealing with, and then you also have nights when he's not as good. So you've been looking for that consistency out of Varlamov, but the key there has been the wonky groin. And so they finally had it looked at by a second opinion. And from what I gather and what I can tell, that surgery is not needed at this point, and it maybe won't be needed, but it's going to have to be something that, at least for the rest of this season, is going to have to be managed correctly. They're going to have to really keep an eye on it every single day, not only game time, but also practice time, you know, see how it is, just really, really pay attention to it and really, really keep it in mind so that it's not something that keeps him out for a longer period of time. But that's what he's been dealing with, and that groin's been an issue for him. As of right now, I think they think that he can make the rest of the season and make the long haul here, but they're really going to be keeping a close eye on it.
Mark, great to catch up with you again. We'll see you soon in Edmonton. Appreciate your time.
You guys, all right, sounds good. Can't wait to get there and see that beautiful building. Thanks so much.